Let me tell you about the new sports app we've launched as a part of our USA Today family. USA Today Sports Plus is the new sports app that puts the fans first. Get the latest scores, stats, and standings and enjoy interactive experiences with our award-winning sports writers. Download the USA Today Sports Plus app from the Apple or Google Play stores today. USA Today Sports Plus. Fan harder.
Hello and welcome. Joel A. Erickson, I'm Nate Atkins. This is a little bit disjointed, just like the way the Colts played today. I'm on my way back already. I'm in an airport, so I apologize if you guys can hear anything. Nate is in the parking lot of TIA Bank Field. Just kind of the necessities of travel. But Nate, I think the thing that sticks out, first of all, just from this game specifically, there's not a whole lot of players who can feel good about today.
No, not at all. Colts have 7 Pro Bowlers, and, like, none of them showed up. This was shocking. This was absolutely shocking for them to come out here. And, you know they just need to beat a 2-14 Jacksonville team to get into the playoffs. And just from the second the game started, it's like they just didn't have a, chance. I mean, the Jaguars went 12 plays, 75 yards, down the field, took the lead, and from there they just, quite frankly, kicked the Colts' ass in the trenches. They did it. Their quarterback outplayed the Colts' quarterback, which is baffling considering Trevor Lawrence is a rookie with like 17 interceptions. They were the more prepared team. They were a more hungry team. They're the team that didn't turn it over. The Colts turned over twice. I mean, every way we can slice this right now, it gets that way. The only guy that I watched out there for the Colts that I would come away from this saying, okay, I can't pin this on you, is Jonathan Taylor, their best player. But he didn't have a chance to play today because he was just, I mean, they just got destroyed up front. He was trying to run to the sidelines all the time. And just every single way that we can break this down outside of Jonathan Taylor not having a chance pretty much leads you back to saying the Colts just blew it.
Yeah, and it's a stunning collapse. It's really stunning, I think. Just to think about where they were after the Arizona game, it seemed like there was virtually no way they didn't make the playoffs after that game. They were 9-6, games against two teams that the Raiders may still make the playoffs, but obviously the Jaguars, regardless of it being in Jacksonville or not, just they should have got one win out of that. And I think the biggest thing that sticks out to me is that collapses like this, you do end up having to throw away some of the stuff that happened. In terms of the good stuff that happened against the Cardinals, the Patriots, or the Bills, like, you do have to throw some of that away, because if you lean too hard on that, that's how you stay stuck in motion, in the same motion. Chris Ballard in 2019, when they didn't make the playoffs, said, we didn't make the playoffs, there has to be change, there's going to be change. And frankly, I'm expecting him to say the same thing whenever he does his end of the season press conference sometime here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. This game felt eerily similar to one other one that I've covered before. It was a game where the Lions played at the Bengals on Christmas Eve, and they had to win to get into the playoffs. Same situation, facing a bad team. And they came out, got destroyed in the trenches, and lost. That one was a lot closer. But right after that game, we knew Jim Caldwell was getting fired, and a lot of the coaches were getting fired, and a lot of those players who were their guys were going to be gone. I mean, that was like the moment it all fell apart. And I can't see this being anywhere near that. I mean, I don't think it's anything where we can discuss job security for any of the guys at the top. But usually, like, losing creates tension, and especially when you had expectations to win like they did for this game and what the season had built toward. And there's going to be some fallout. There's going to be some, at the very least, really hard conversations that Frank Reich has to have with Chris Ballard about Carson Wentz, about the direction of this offense and the passing game. And, you know, and about the reasons it didn't work. And it's just looking back on all of it, this season ultimately fell apart because they didn't have a passing game. I mean, ultimately they had everything, almost everything else that you really need. They had amazing special teams. They had 7 Pro Bowlers. They had playmakers on all 3 levels of the defensive line. I mean, on the defensive side of the ball, they had Jonathan Taylor, they had Michael Pittman, and they just didn't have anything around that. And ultimately, it goes back to the two guys that they brought in who were their guys, which is Carson Wentz for Frank Reich and Eric Fisher for Chris Ballard. And just as you look at the season totality now, when they fell short, it often came between those two guys. And that's tough to swallow when you consider, like, and at least with Eric Fisher, they had other ways they could have gone with that one. They trusted their guys, and those guys ultimately didn't come through this season.
Yeah, Wentz, Fisher, I think, is easier because if you want to move on from Fisher, they can. It was a one-year deal. It's really easy. Wentz is a little bit more difficult, I think, not just because of the salary, although, honestly, this team could handle a $15 million dead hit, and they'd be fine. But yep. I think more so it's a bigger deal because I just don't know who you replace him with. We don't know what the quarterback picture looks like right now. I have a feeling, or at least it sounds like from reports, that it's not going to be as star-studded as people thought it was going to be. So it's hard to know. It's hard to know what the obvious option is to replace him. But
well, even if it is star-studded, if let's say we see trades for Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson, the Colts aren't going to be the team winning that derby. They don't have a first-round pick. I mean, their first pick is late in the second round. Like, if they're going to get into a battle against the Panthers or the Dolphins or whoever else, you know, has been stockpiling draft picks, they're not going to win that battle. So, at best, I would think that they're going to have to – maybe they could try a different reclamation project, kind of like the Panthers did with Sam Darnold. But that just brings you right back to where you were. That's what Carson Wentz was, and that was a guy that – they were confident they could fix that because, you know, the staff knew him. And there were times where it looked that way, and then it ultimately didn't get there. And the stat that I noticed today that kind of makes you really think about Carson Wentz and whether this is going to go anywhere is that he has played six seasons in the NFL, and he has had one 1,000-yard wide receiver. That's Michael Pittman this year. All the guys he produces with are 6'5 or taller. This is something I kept noticing when I went back to the film, is that he just doesn't play well with guys who don't have huge catch radiuses. He's not consistent enough with the ball placement, the accuracy. And a lot of what transpired this year, I mean, look, it's the first year he's playing with new guys in this playbook, but a lot of what's transpired here has transpired throughout his career. And if it's not getting better now, you know, that's the conversation we're going to have is, will it get better? Can it get fixed? Or is Carson Wentz always going to be this guy who has occasional moments like that drive against the Cardinals that make you make your jaw drop, but then there's just not nearly enough of it to actually create a winning product?
I don't think that there's a whole lot of people out there right now who are arguing in favor of Carson Wentz, but the big thing most of the season is when he protected the football and didn't give up big plays. Now, he did in Jacksonville, and I want to make sure that's clear. But you know, he wasn't the turnover machine he was in Philadelphia. You know, he didn't take nearly as many sacks as he did in Philadelphia. But the thing is, that's not enough. We've seen this before with the Colts. You weren't here, obviously, but with Jacoby Brissett, when they were forced to deal with Jacoby Brissett because of Andrew Luck's retirement, started the season 5-2, looked okay, kind of fooled us, I think, into thinking that there might be something there, and then he collapsed down the stretch. Yards per attempt cratered, accuracy cratered. It just looked disjointed the way it's looked down in the second half of this season. And the more I kept watching this season, you don't want to say that because you don't want to throw someone in that boat right away. But now that the season's over, that's all I can think about, is that's what we saw was another collapse down the stretch. And the last time that happened, there was change. I don't know what the change is this time yet, or if it's going to happen. But in the past, this has meant what happened down the stretch has meant big changes to the passing game.
Yeah, that's what's so fascinating is that I think they're at that point, but they're not. There's not easy answers of where to go. I mean, Frank Reich was asked after the game to evaluate Carson, and he said, "I don't evaluate any one player," but he of course didn't say from this game didn't say he played well. And then when he was asked, kind of, "Are you going to keep rolling with him?" He said, "I think he's had good moments. He's had moments where he's flashed this season, but he didn't." He didn't come out and say, "Oh, this is our guy and he'll always be our guy," or anything like that. It wasn't this kind of emphatic backing. And I think, again, I've only covered a handful of games here, but other guys were saying this too. Frank Reich looks so defeated tonight, like so broken. And obviously that's going to happen when your season ends. It's going to happen when it ends like this against Jacksonville prematurely. But part of me wonders how much he feels personally responsible for the fact that it lost. It fell apart mostly because of his area, the passing game, the quarterback he brought in, like that killed their season. The final eight games this year, the final eight games, they went over 200 passing yards two times. That just isn't an NFL passing game in 2021.
Yeah, that's obvious. You have to have more for the passing game. It has to be more efficient. I keep bringing up, you know, people have been hung up on the first round pick thing, and I've said this before on this, but they basically paid Alex Smith prices. What the thing about Alex Smith is, the numbers didn't look good, but he didn't kill the Chiefs when he was the Chiefs quarterback. He very rarely killed them. In fact, that's usually what he got criticized for and why they eventually went to Mahomes. But if Carson Wentz was going to be their Alex Smith, he can't kill them, and they killed them down the stretch. There are other issues that we can get to here in a second, and one of them, I think, on the defensive side of the ball is a very Ballard problem with the pass rush. But you're right, the passing game and the lack of it just severely hamstrung them. And the more that Jonathan Taylor ran and was as good as he should have been, the more it should have opened up. You see it with the Titans and Henry. Tannehill looks way better when Derrick Henry's with them because he's throwing the ball down the field. Everyone's good to stop him. That didn't happen. It's the exact same thing that happened in 2019. We had the same conversations about why yards per attempt down when you're running the ball so well. It's pretty damning when you get to the end of the season and look at it. You know, I had been kind of judging him on the Alex Smith bar because that's what they traded, essentially. And I think right at the end there, he came up short.
Yeah, for sure. And that point about Jonathan Taylor is the reason, is that you want to give a little bit of a grace period given, you know, this was a reclamation project. The guy was down on his confidence. You know, he came in, Carson Wentz came in. It's a new offense, didn't get training camp. Like, there were going to be some bumps along the road. But the fact that it got worse at the end, when teams were selling out to stop Jonathan Taylor, I mean, they're just stacking the box like crazy. He has not had the long runs that he had for the longest time because that's just the way that's the way they're playing. And yet the Colts could not take advantage of that. And all of a sudden, you know, we're throwing like one of the worst teams in the league against that. I mean, there were times when there's one safety in the middle of the field because the other one's in the box to stop Jonathan Taylor, and they don't ever win deep. Like, they don't create down the field plays. One of the only ones they've had recently was T.Y. Hilton had that catch off the tipped ball, but they stopped going to jump balls to Michael Pittman, which, you know, I do wonder about. The last time they ran that was against the Buccaneers. It was an interception. This is one of the issues that I've noticed with Carson, is that when something doesn't work, when he does hit a bad moment like that, he will lose trust in what that is. I think that happened with Zach Pascal when he dropped passes against the Buccaneers, and he's barely thrown to him since then. It's just like they're not good enough to play that way, where you can just kind of pick and choose and only throw to guys you trust. There's not enough to trust in this offense right now. And the main thing I just come away from is they wasted Jonathan Taylor this season. This was an unbelievable season from a running back, defying everything that running backs are supposed to be in 2021. A guy who has 2,000 yards from scrimmage and 1,800 rushing yards and 18 touchdowns. And he kept doing it when they stacked the box. Today he averaged, what did he average today? Like 5.1 yards a carry. I mean, he's trying to do everything, but like they just couldn't support him even a little bit through the air, and that's why they're going to be watching the playoffs from home.
Yeah, I think with Taylor, just you hope that you get the anomaly. You hope that you get the running back who's going to be able to be like this for a long time. I mean, there's a handful of them throughout the NFL history, and basically it's like the five top running backs in the history of the NFL are top rushers. But there's usually a shelf life with running backs as far as their effectiveness, they can be this good. Now, I don't think Taylor's anywhere near that yet, but he had a lot of carries this year, and he's going to take a lot of pounding. It's going to be tough for them. So you want to maximize this window. I think one of the other things is just we've talked a lot about the offense, but defensively, there was a huge hole on this team all season long, and it killed them again today. DeForest Buckner, too injured to play on the early downs, clearly limited on passing downs when he came in on third down, and they got zero pass rush. One sack, two quarterback hits on Trevor Lawrence. It's just, you can't. They weren't good at corner. They weren't good anywhere on defense today. But you don't have a shot if you can't rush the passer in the NFL. It's just not. You just don't. You can't consistently play good defense if you can't rush the passer. And they just don't have enough.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's how you create rookie moments. That's what's happened to Trevor Lawrence this year. Why he's turned the ball over as much as he has is you you get in his head, you start sending pressures in places he's not ready for or expecting. You throw this off. They couldn't throw anything off today. I mean, my God. From that first drive, Trevor Lawrence had 2 third-and-10s. He converts to Marvin Jones, and it looked like practice. I mean, they just dropped back, nobody around him at all. Colts playing really soft coverage and getting beat there. And that's one thing, too, where, you know, Rockison left today with an injury. Xavier Rhodes didn't play, and he's actually played pretty well lately. Like, they were losing a few things at cornerback, and they cannot afford that with this pass rush right now. And things just caught up to them on that side of the ball. Like, DeForest Buckner, they put so much on him physically all season long to take all the double teams, to be the pass rush guy, to play 78% of the snaps. And, you know, it's like, it's never a breather. And this week he didn't practice with the knee injury. And then, like you said, he's limited, and they don't have any other way they can go. This season they didn't blitz Kenny Moore very much compared to what they've done in the past. And part of that's that, you know, they really want to win with coverage. Well, today they couldn't win with coverage as much. They were just in a really bad spot where they couldn't really throw the Jaguars off at all. And that's where I thought the game would turn around. It's like, I thought if they could get one score on offense and they could force one turnover, one Darius Leonard punch out, one interception, that this would, you'd get this Jaguars team that's not ready, that's not finishing those games and experience to fall apart. And there were almost no plays where it seemed like they were even close to getting a turnover or a sack. Majority of the game was just very easy on the Jaguars, and that's not how we should be talking about how your defense played against this Jacksonville Jaguars team.
The thing about relying on turnovers as a defense, and there have been some Super Bowl teams that have had turnovers, Saints, Packers, a couple of them, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a great defense. And I think that's what's going on with this team. Like, they had a lot of turnovers. They got Darius Hunter. He's an unbelievable takeaway guy. But to be a great defense, you have to dictate the game. You have to dictate to them what they're going to do, and then make them pay for it when they have to do that. Colts can't do that. They don't rush the passer. I think more than anything, that's it. It's like, we can talk about the safeties or the linebackers, but this team just does not rush the passer well enough. I think this is the fewest sacks they've ever had in the Chris Ballard era. I think it's like 32 or 33. I'm not going to throw Kwity Paye and Bayo Odenbo out right now. It's their first year. They're pass rushers. Sometimes it takes time. Look at some of the guys who are having good years this year. Rashawn Gary has kind of been building with Green Bay. There's a couple other guys like that. So you don't throw out the rookies, but he could have done something. Ballard could have done something else at the pass rush to help the rookies. Give them, like, so Kwity Paye, well, he's learning on the job, doesn't have to play 60% of the snaps. This team is built, Ballard will say it over and over and over and over and over again, he wants a pass rush, and he's thrown a ton of resources at it. They don't have anything to show for it. And I think in the offseason, regardless of what they think of Paye and Odenbo, and I'm sure they're still high on, they're going to have to go get somebody. They need to go, maybe two people, maybe three. Like, they need to get somebody. This needs to be a pass rush that forces opposing quarterbacks to deal with it. And they just didn't do that in so many games this year. You know, the Tampa Bay game, the one that everyone wanted to talk about the offense, can we talk about the fact that Tom Brady wasn't hit at all down the stretch? Like, the pass rush has to be better. Pass rush kills his games. It's not me saying that. That's Robert Mathis, who Colts fans know and trust. Like, pass rushers close games. And overall this season, it mattered. They didn't have a chance to close it in Jacksonville. They let it away before that happened. But overall this season, that's the big hole on the defense for me. Like, there's other holes, there's other places they can upgrade. But the pass rush is the huge glaring one, the way the quarterback and left tackle are on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the appeal to guys like Dio Odenbo, that you're looking at their career, you're not judging a rookie on just this season. But you would think if that's your idea, I mean, you should form a better plan where what some teams will do is they'll sign a free agent and then draft that guy to develop. And that was where I don't know why the Colts didn't look more into that. Obviously, I wasn't here, but they couldn't afford just a redshirt year from Dio Odenbo. There was nothing else there. I mean, Kwity Paye is learning in a different way where he wasn't really used that way at Michigan. It's like, that's great too. There should be someone else out there though who can provide it. Like, they don't have time to just wait around and for these guys to get good whenever they get good. You've got to get there and affect the quarterback right now, and they couldn't do it. I always felt like that would end up being their undoing, either their pass rush or Eric Fisher, and it was kind of both. And then it was like Carson fell apart there too. But one thing that I noted, that Darius Leonard was unbelievable after the game. I mean, so emotional. He's getting choked up. And he was so real talking about just like the failure of this, the heart. He called it heartbreak. And it was like it pained him. And the reason was he had an incredible year too. Like, they wasted Jonathan Taylor. They wasted Darius Leonard. He had 15 turnovers this year. Like, he brought them the thing that we say is so hard to get, is a bank on turnover. He brought them. He didn't bring them today because they weren't in those positions. But it's like, what, these guys cannot carry, these two young players cannot carry this entire team. And it's kind of what they had to do at too many moments this season. And I just saw Darius, for all he fought through with the ankle injury to have that remarkable season. As much as we talk about turnovers being the stat that defines wins and losses, for a team to force 37 turnovers and not make the playoffs really speaks to all those other issues.
I think one of the other things that's hard with this season is that there was a whiplash effect. You know, in 19, they were 5-2. They collapsed down the stretch. They lost a bunch of games in a row. We had time to kind of deal with what was going on mentally. This one, 2 weeks ago on Christmas night, they beat Arizona. They look like they're in the playoffs. It's a very different thing. And then all of a sudden, it collapses in 2 weeks. And so I think one of the things that was hard for maybe me was just to wrap my head around it as the game was going on, like just how quickly things turned and how much it shifts. So that's the NFL, right? Except today, that is the NFL. It does change that fast, and it changes the whole outlook. And so I'll be interested to see what Ballard says. I think Ballard's going to say expect change. And I think you should expect it, because the last time they didn't make the playoffs, they traded for DeForest Buckner, signed Phillip Rivers, went and got Xavier Rhodes. Like, it was a very different offseason the last time they didn't do this. And honestly, there's probably a discussion that we can have on a podcast later on this offseason that maybe they should do that every year, or be more like that every year, unless like they were after the 18 and 20 seasons. But I would guess that that's what we're going to hear.
I would have to think, again, I haven't met Chris Ballard, so I'm very interested to see how he handles this. But as I'm talking about what they wasted, I would have to think he has got to be the most frustrated person about that. He found Darius Leonard in the second round. He's the biggest Jonathan Taylor fan on the planet and, you know, made a move to go and get him. And they got it's everything he dreamed of with those two players. And what's to show for it? They don't make the playoffs because of all these other pitfalls and these other, you know, guys who were their guys, Eric Fisher and Carson Wentz, who didn't deliver. And like the plans they didn't have in the pass rush for the way they drive. It's like same thing at wide receiver. It's like they've found a way to acquire some incredible players. And it's like there's a lot of this roster you look at and you're like, wow, this franchise is really impressive the way they draft and develop. But the overall plan and the way to maximize that, it's just hasn't been there. And I'm just interested to see, you know, I'm just so interested to see what they try and do with quarterback. That's going to be the whole offseason discussion. But, you know, Chris Ballard did let Frank Reich go out and get his guy, and, you know, it didn't work this year. And how much did they keep buying into it? That's what the whole offseason is going to be. It's just weird to think about because, yeah, 2 weeks ago, Carson Wentz leads a game-winning drive against the Cardinals, and they're on top of the world. They're a team no one wants to face. Frank Reich's maybe coach of the year, and I guess life hits you hard in the NFL. But to me, this was maybe the most shocking NFL game I have ever watched, just in terms of what was at stake and what played out and how it played out. I mean, I think the Colts, and I could see this from Darius Leonard, it's not that they just lost a game. Like, football is a physical game. They went out and got their asses kicked by a 2-14 team. He pointed out that record after the game. They're 2-14. And it's just the all-time base plan. And it's something that I think is going to have reverberations because it was that big of a loss and that big of a spot.
Well, and to lose the way they did, to get out-muscled, that's not what the Colts are supposed to out-muscle people. We didn't get to the rest of the offensive line beyond Fisher. But they were awful. And that's not supposed to be the Colts. They're the ones supposed to be doing the out-muscling. So the letdown after the run all the way to 9-6 is it's big. It's a big deal. It's going to be examined. I get close to the end here of when I have to go get board a plane and Nate's got to get out of the TIA Bank parking lot. So we're going to wrap it up here. But I think it's going to be a – Well, I know from our perspective, it's going to be a big, big the offseason is going to be a big deal. I think there's going to be some big changes this offseason. For the Colts Cover 2 podcast, I'm Joel Erickson. This has been Nate Atkins. Again, we apologize if there's any difficulties. That's just sometimes what happens on the end of the regular season.